eclipse. Eclipse. April 8th is the eclipse. That's just 22 days from today. And I want to ask a question. How many of you have experienced and seen, now listen to this, a total eclipse of the sun? A total. And it's a lot different than, how many of you have done that? Raise your hand. You've seen it? Now, there's partial eclipses, but when I say total, I mean you're in that zone of totality. I'm going to tell you backs, and I'm going to share with you some facts. Is this eclipse coming up prophetic? Is it different, or is it just, I think America's had 6 or 7 total eclipses like this since its inception. So eclipses are not new to the world, not new to the nation, but is there something different about this one? And I'm going to talk about that today. But I know this, in 2017, almost exactly seven years ago, we had another total eclipse, and it crossed in at Oregon, and it exited at Fort Sumter, South Carolina, and it was the only eclipse in the United States history, and what scientists say ever, that their knowledge, where it came in one side of the country, exited the other, and did not cross over any other country. It was just America, from one end to the other. And I saw that thing, and my brother-in-law Greg and I went down to western Kentucky, southern Illinois, to get right in the totality. He invited me down there, and I thought, oh, this will be interesting. I've never been real big on the astronomy thing, looking at the stars and stuff, but I was not prepared. And knowing the Bible and knowing the Word, when I saw that happen, even though I knew it scientifically what was going on, the sun, the earth, the moon got in front of the sun, blocked it, I'm going to tell you, there was a sense of the fear of God when I saw that. I saw, and God was just saying very plainly, I am in charge, no matter what men do. I am powerful. When you see this one, you're going to get the same thing. It's going to rock you, because you're going to see God's power, especially if you know the Word. I want to tell you a little bit about that one in 2017, but let's go to some foundation scriptures first. Let's go way back to Genesis 1:14, because any message I give on this subject, and I know there's people out there prophesying already and saying this means the end of the world, that Jesus is coming back X date. I'm not going to do that, folks, because my Bible says we don't know the day or the hour, right? I'm actually going to address that. There are signs, yes, in the sun and the moon when he comes back. But let's be reasonable with the Word. Let's not go way off and discredit ourselves. By the way, he could come back, because I don't know the day or the hour. But I'm not going to stand up here and say he is coming back, blah, blah, blah. I've seen that done so many times, and people go off the cliff with that, and then they don't have any more credibility. So don't worry about that. I'm not going to get up here and predict the day Jesus is returning, but we're going to talk about it. Genesis 1:14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Now get this part of this verse. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. So when we look at that portion of Scripture, we know that we keep time and dates and years by the sun and the moon and all that kind of a thing. But he also says signs and seasons, days and years. So there's signs. There are times that God is bringing us a message, and if you pray, you should get what he's trying to say by what the moon is doing, what the stars doing. This does not mean we believe in astrology. We do not. We do not let the stars guide our life, but they can be a sign from God as he's guiding our life. So don't get that mixed up here today. Here are the words of Jesus concerning the sun and the moon, and it's giving us signs at the end of the world, just before the rapture of the church. And it's found in Luke 21, 25, and 26. And I love this, what Mary did with our bulletin. She made her own bulletin today. And this is a key scripture today. Luke 21, 25, and 26. Prophesying about the end of the age, the end of this world as we know it. And he said that he's talked about a lot of things happening, but one of the things was this. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So he says at the beginning of this, and there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And that's, he's not talking about timekeeping or date, you know, keeping the dates, but now he's talking about signs to let us know that his coming is near. And we also see the final sign of the sun and the moon at the rapture or catching away of the church as stated by Jesus in Matthew 24, 29 and 30. Now, I'm going to use this scripture to show you that I don't believe. Well, let's just read it and then I'll explain it. Matthew 24, 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, and he was talking about a great tribulation period. Satan's cast to the earth. Fallen angels, demons are on the earth getting ready for the final judgment of them so they're wreaking havoc on the world knowing their time is short. Church is getting persecuted badly even though they are triumphant regardless of what happens to them. And he says immediately after that event, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. In other places like Joel, I think it says it'll be blood red. Now, we've had blood red moons, and I remember a fellow that was in this church, and one time he was predicting the end because the moon was going to be a bloody moon. And I wanted to say, hey, the sun's got to go dark too. Both things have to happen. Just because the moon's blood red don't mean that's it. The sun's got to grow dark. And guess what? It's not just in one region of the world. It's going to be all over the world. That's why when people, oh, you're going to get a total eclipse. The end's near. Let's stay with what Jesus said. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This is at the time of the rapture of the church. We're taken out. The wrath comes down. We're not appointed to wrath. Although we will go through trouble, the enemy will buffet the church and we'll be victorious anyway. Amen? Ooh, that was a weak amen. Are we going to be victorious? All right. Then he says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And by the way, his angels will be with him, and he will gather his elect from one end of heaven to the other, and we'll be taken out of here, and this place that we're calling his earth will be getting ready to be passed away, and we'll be taken to a better place forever, right? Now, when I speak of the eclipses of 2017 and next month, know that this is not that event that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, for that will be a worldwide event. So this is why I don't want people, just because you live in this area, it may seem like it's all over the world, but it's going to be a trek from Texas clear up to Maine, and it's going to be a big chunk of the United States, but there's going to be places in the United States and most of the world, it's going to be daylight just as usual. However, Scripture does state there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. So we need to be listening today for what the Holy Spirit might say to us concerning these signs. And I'm going to go just as far as what I got on the inside of me. I'm not going to take it any further and stretch it and add things to what I believe God's given me. Because if I do that, you get an error. You prophesy according to the proportion of your faith, right? You don't go any far beyond it. And I am not a lot of you say different, but I don't believe I am a prophet at all. I've been around prophets, and I don't think I'm one. I've been around them. They're intense, especially them corporate prophets. You gotta, they can do a laser beam right through you, them kind of people, right? But they're necessary to help guide us in the Word and show us where we're at in history. All right. Interesting facts about the eclipse of 2017. Let's pull that first picture up on the board here. The eclipse of 2017, 7 years ago. Hopefully my map is going to come up okay. No signal. It's always positive. There we go. Now look at this. This eclipse stayed right in the United States. Now I'm going to give you some facts about this. It came in near Salem, Oregon. What does Salem mean? Peace. Did you know as it trekked across the United States, it went across exactly 7 cities and towns called Salem? Did you know that? No. Seven. Seven's a significant number. Salem meets peace. And here we are, total darkness coming across our country, going over seven cities and towns called peace. It was as if darkness covered peace up. And then it exits out at South Carolina, Fort Sumter, where the Civil War started. Now, we didn't think a lot about that in 2017, but darkness overshadowing peace, you know, we should have been praying about that thing. And then division, the Civil War. Now, what happened right after that? I better go to my notes so I don't get all over the place. First and only total solar eclipse recorded in history that covered only the United States. I said that. Was this a warning from God? Passed over seven cities and towns called Salem, and I talked about South. Do you know in the Civil War, after that Civil War started, 620,000 people died in that war, more than any American died in any war in our history, World War I, World War II. Why? Every person that died in that war was American. And that was in the 1800s when the population wasn't a lot like it is now, and 620,000 people perished. The division was horrible. So we know that Salem means peace. We know that darkness covered seven towns and cities with that name and then crossed at the end of the Civil War. A total solar eclipse brings darkness. It's as if the peace of our nation was about to be taken from us as this darkness passed over these seven cities and towns named Salem, starting at Salem, Oregon. Do you remember what happened right after that? We got COVID came in. Then there became tremendous division in this country. A man up in Minnesota had a cop put his knee on his neck and brutalize him when he didn't have to. And it just took that little spark to touch off riots all across America. Let's just get a look at some of these. Just as a reminder, this is what happened after that eclipse passed across. Just a few years later, in the seven-year period in America. Let's look at this. This is from the news. Let's remind ourselves of what we went through.
Dispersing the crowd and taking the driver into custody. 75 cities are living through these protests. Many are in flames. More than half have imposed curfews. In Atlanta, two officers have been fired for using excessive force, arresting two young African Americans. Shows the women screaming for help. In Michigan, every car on this street is on fire, windows smashed, tear gas deployed. Tear gas and rubber bullets, too, in the beachside community of Santa Monica, 1,000 National Guard soldiers. Streets, helping 20,000 police on the ground. With so much division, chaotic confrontations have been taking place across the country. Bringing protesters together, people all over the country started kneeling symbolic protests against police brutality. Now even police are joining in. George Floyd was the match that lit this explosion of violence. It's now taken a life of its own, leaving further charges against the others involved in his death would not be enough to stop it. David Gibson, ABC News, Washington.
Remember that? How many of you, even out here in the suburbs, when there were rumors, because we had them in Indianapolis, that they could come out here? Terrible unrest, terrible division. I mean, is it just me, or do people just think it's a coincidence that darkness covered across America, almost like a warning from God that our peace was about to be taken, that division was going to happen? Exiting out at Fort Sumter, which started the Civil War. We're in a type of civil war now. And I don't think that was a coincidence. You know, we see in Revelation 6:4, and this is not this event that I just showed you, but coming in Bible prophecy as we approach the end, it says, another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. This stuff can erupt overnight. Now, that's a prophecy of what's to come at the end of the world, but you can see how quickly things can change around us. That eclipse went across. Everybody thought it was neat, but I think God's people should be praying and hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches, because we were about to experience a big division in this country and unrest, no peace. This country has been divided more than ever politically and in ideology since that time. We now begin to see a separation of two cultures in America, and here's the one that I pay attention to, with the church involved as well. And I believe it started to define a great split in the church world as well, as much of the church drifts off the Word of God into secular humanism and philosophies. We have hosts and millions of these dead, dry denominations that have been around for centuries that are now going clear off this Bible. I was grieved yesterday, and we've had two celebration of lives the last two Saturdays. And there's been about 500 people come through this church that I was able to get the gospel to, thank God. But the VFW guy that came to me, he said to me, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. He's going, and I'm going to spit it out. I'm going to call a spade a spade. He says, we're going to the Methodist Church. They're in Brownsburg. He says, and we're about to vote next month. I don't know what to do. And, of course, it's to vote to bring in gay clergy. You know, women, male, female. And he said, where do you guys stand on that? I says, we don't believe in it here. And I said, I tell you, I wait for the day where a same-sex couple comes to me wanting to get married, and I'm going to have to say no. You know, and we've got some stuff put in our bylaws to hopefully protect us. But here's this man, and he doesn't know which. And I said, you know, sir, I said, it's the Word of God you need to stand on. He goes, I know it. We don't know what to do. Many churches, and I know that Joe and Rebecca are not here, but Rebecca grew up in the Methodist Church in Waldron. They've already pulled out. They've already pulled out of the United Methodist Church because they can't be a part of it. What does it say in Revelation? Come out from among him and be separate, says the Lord, so that you'll not partake of their sins, and I will receive you. So this is what's going on. There is division now in the church world. There's a lot of people, and the enemy gets them focused on certain churches here and there. Oh, these churches have gone off the deep end. They're laying on graves trying to get people's anointing and all that. And they're focused on that and all winged out about that kind of thing. And I understand that. I do. But the biggest threat we have is the large church world going clear off the Word of God and becoming apostate. And that's what it said in Matthew would happen. There'd be a falling away first in big, large denominations. I don't even want to read about what the Pope is doing anymore. He's freaking me out. We won't even go. I would spend another hour talking about what's going on in these old dead, dry denominations, and I got to tell this, if you are in a church today, anybody watching me, and they are not standing 100% on the Word of God and what it says, and I say first, talk to your leadership in a biblical way. Don't be in a rebellious way, in the wrong way, but if they won't hear you, wipe the dust off your feet and find a church that is standing on the Word of God. We don't have time to play around anymore. We've seen this forever. It's been going on a long time. My goodness, I heard sermon after sermon from Adam talking about this thing even back in the 90s and the early 2000s. Adam, you were way ahead of your time, brother. Well, there's a split in the church world, the division. Not just in America, but in the church world, because they're going off the Word of God. So, when that eclipse came across, was God trying to tell us something? I believe so. I think He was warning us of what was coming, how we should have been praying, right? Was He giving us a sign in heaven as He said He would in His Word? I believe so. I don't think that was a coincidence. Seven cities named Salem being darkened and exiting at the place of the Civil War. So here we are, 7 years later, with yet another total solar eclipse passing over the United States, just 7 years apart. Seven, a lot of people say that's a number of completion. God made the world, seventh day rested. Pull up the map of 2024 now. This is what's coming up. This is where, and look how much bigger this one is. When I was in the one in 2017, it lasted 2.5 minutes. This is going to last over four. And if you're in that color section, and we are, it's totality. And do you know where it comes in at here at Texas? Do you know what little town it's passing over? It's been in the news. Eagle Pass. What's going on in Eagle Pass? Broken down borders, security's broken down, and that has been the center point of the news. In comes this eclipse over Eagle Pass. Now, I'm not going to deliver some prophecy that pops off my head. That would have to be God. But I will tell you to pray about the events of this eclipse. Pray about it and listen. Guess what? Seven more towns it's going to pass over. You know the name of those towns? Nineveh. Seven. Nineveh. Now let that soak in. Nineveh. You know the story of Nineveh, don't you? And I'm going to give you just a little recap of it for those who don't, because I know we got a lot of people watching out there. Do you think it's an odd coincidence now we got seven more named Nineveh? Yeah. Where am I here? Okay, here we are. Turn the page. What are some significant facts concerning the eclipse? Eclipse enters at a town that's been in the news, Eagle Pass, and it's going over seven towns with the name of Nineveh. It crosses over for the second time in an area of the United... Oh, and this is the other thing. Where it could be recorded as the most earthquake... Now, I want you to pull up the other map where they both converge. I get going on this so fast, I get it. Look at where it converges. See the X? It's troublesome to me to see United States with a big X on it. Do you know that area there where that converged? Those people are getting it twice. Do you know what happened in our country right there where that converged in the early 1800s? The worst earthquake in American history. Look it up. The New Madrid Fault is right there. Right there. Now, we're not used to earthquakes. I want to ask you, sister, were you in the earthquake when it got to Haiti? It was bad, wasn't it? We're not used to that here. But in that area of the United States, we had one that they said it was over 9 on the Richter scale. If it had gone off today, Memphis would have been leveled, St. Louis would have been leveled, Evansville, Indiana would have been leveled. But look at where it converges. That area again. Kind of weird, isn't it? And I'm not trying to draw up. I'm not going to start, like I told you before, but I want you to pray about these strange coincidences that you're seeing here. Strange. All right, what do we make of this? Jonah was called by God to go and warn Nineveh of its wickedness. We find in Jonah 1:2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Of course, Jonah rebelled. He didn't want to warn Nineveh of coming judgment, so he fled. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. This is Jonah 1:3. From the presence of the Lord. It's never good to flee from the presence of the Lord, okay? He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, we know this story as Christians. We know what happened to Jonah. He got chastised greatly. He ended up in the belly of a big whale, and God preserved his life, even though, by all means, it shouldn't have happened. He got swallowed up. He got chastised because he would not be obedient and go to Nineveh, give them the warning so they would repent and God would spare the city. The story goes on after Jonah was delivered from the belly of the whale. Jonah 3, 1 through 4. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet, get this, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." We know as we read on that Jonah was now obedient to God. He warned Nineveh to repent, and they did, and the city was spared from being destroyed, at least for a period of time. I think later God's judgment ended up falling on them down the road. But they repented. Now, here we are. We have the second eclipse 7 years later, passing over seven towns named Nineveh, not Salem this time, but Nineveh. Is God telling the church something about America? He warned Nineveh to repent, and they did, and the city was spared. But look, on April the 8th, this will be passing over seven cities and towns named Nineveh. This is what I get out of this. Jonah, to me, represents the church today. Doesn't he? Could Nineveh represent America? The church is slumbering and they're sleeping by and large. We are not preaching the message of repentance. We're preaching a soft, flimsy, no repentance, no power in it gospel. Watered down, tickle your ears. Gospel. And I believe God is calling the church. We got to rise up. We got to be bold now. We got to be strong. I was so blessed by you telling that young man in the post office the other day, and you got into discussion how he didn't come to church because he always sat up late Saturday night playing video games. And what did this young lady tell him? You need to repent. You need to get in church. This is the message that's missing today from the churches by and large across our land. They tickle your ears. Oh, they may talk about salvation, but there's no repentance. There's no talking about turning from sin. It's like they're saying, "I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay." But guess what? None of us are. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. We need to be covered by that sin, by the blood of Christ, and trust in his finished work on the cross. So here we are. We got this event coming in, April 8th, crossing over seven Ninevehs. And I believe God is calling the church to arise, go to Nineveh, tell them to repent. Will the church hear it? Will the church do it? Because if the church will do it, we'll have a revival we've like never seen before. I wonder how many other people are preaching this coming up to this eclipse. I don't know. But that's what I got out of it. Jonah represents the church. Nineveh represents America, and we're called to preach the message of repentance and the gospel to our nation. And are we doing this? Or is the church in America, by and large, running from its call and tickling the ears of our nation with a strange gospel that does not include repentance from our many sins? You see it all over TV. There are some that do, but there are some. Don't throw a brick through your TV. You just lose your TV set, you know. Change it. Flip the channel. I remember one morning I was sick, and I don't hardly ever try to be sick at church, but I was sick, and I felt bad, and I was at home, and I think Andy was filling in for me, and I turned on Christian TV. I thought, well, I'll just I'll just watch here because I couldn't bear to watch it online because I felt bad. I felt like I needed to be there. So here comes this guy. He has a suit and a tie on. He looks real official. He looks very spiritual. He looks very mature. And he's sitting behind a desk. And I thought, well, I'll get something from this guy. And right away, he's way off into Never Never Land with doctrine. He talked about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness really wasn't Satan. It was something else. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, click. So then I find this other guy with this leather. He looked like he was an Asian fella. He had, and you guys know who I'm talking about. He had a leather suit on. He looked like almost like a Hollywood. But guess what? I thought, I'm not going to get much out of this guy. He looks like a Hollywood, you know, Elvis or something trying to preach. Oh, my gosh, he packed out a sermon that was right on. You cannot judge a book by its cover. You know, John the Baptist came in camel's hair. And sometimes it's so deceptive. Anybody can put on a suit and tie and look all holy and deceive you right into hell. That's why Jesus said, judge by outward appearance. Don't judge by outward appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Guess what? Nineveh in the Bible was given 40 days to repent. 40 days. I found it significant that after 40 days after the eclipse on April the 8th, we are coming to Pentecost Sunday. Are all these things coincidences? I don't know. I think we need to pray. I think the church needs to rise up. And anybody listening to me, because I know I can control what goes on in here, but this church world out here, I used to tell Adam, quit worrying about all these, you know, these people are going to drive you nuts, Adam. Let's just focus here. Remember me always telling you that because Adam sees the decay. He's been seeing the decay of the church for years. But he's right. When it comes to the corporate, prophetic, you need people like Adam or Emily or people like David Wilkerson, people to stand up and say, America, you need to repent. If you don't repent, it's coming down like it did Nineveh. And the church, judgment first begins at the house of God. That's why Jonah was put in that whale before Nineveh got destroyed. He didn't do his job. The church is not doing their job. All these big, and I don't want you to think I got an unhealthy attitude, all these great big mega churches, and we're sandwiched between two or three of them here. I asked someone going there one time, when was the last time, did they ever talk about the second coming, the rapture of the church? Did they ever preach out of the book of Revelation in your church? And this is a church with 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people close to here. Well, no, we never talk about that. That horrifies me. What kind of blood is going to be on the hands of people if they're not warning people? Amen. What would have happened to Jonah if he again disobeyed? 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end of those be who do not obey the gospel of God? We have an accountability. We have a responsibility, church. And I often feel like I'm preaching to the choir because I know people here at Corinth get it. I know we get it. And I'm blessed. I hope again, Alex, I hope we go back out on the street again this year like we've done. It reminded me of the days when Adam and I did it all the time. We went out on those streets. And sometimes we got attacked. I remember one time when a guy, demon-possessed, came up to me and this voice came out of him down at the Fall Festival. Remember that? You're standing to the left of me. And this voice comes out of him and he says, you shouldn't be trying to tell people to be saved. God wants to annihilate these people. And it was a demon. And I looked at him and I knew I wasn't talking to him. I said, oh, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. God's not willing that any should perish. But the So he yelled and took off running. So I thought, okay, yeah, but guess what? He came back. He come back, and with his hand, he popped me right in the head. Bop! And he says, I'm baptizing you in Satan. And he goes, kabam, and pops me right in the head, right? Anything can happen when you're out there. I take it personal when people in church attack me. That kind of stuff just happens. I remember Adam standing to the left of me. He come over there, and I think he was going to wrestle with flesh and blood. He was going to take the man out. I told him, Adam, later, and then we beat the devil, and he took off again. But you know, I said, Adam, what did that look like? We're out here preaching the love of Jesus, and all of a sudden now we're in the dirt wrestling with this guy. Wouldn't it look good? Plus, he had demons. He might have had more strength than us put together. But, you know, we need to be out there. The church needs to be out there getting the gospel to the lost. We are running out of time. I could go on and on about how far along these microchips are going, how they're already implanting them as IDs in Europe and even here in America at some businesses in the skin. And guess where they're putting those little chips? Right here in your right hand. Does that sound familiar according to Revelation? Do not do that ever. Don't ever receive anything in your body like that. When Jonah refused to preach the message of repentance to Nineveh and warn them, look at what happened to him. If Jonah was chastised in this way, what about the Laodicean lukewarm church in America which refuses to warn our people of what is coming if we don't repent before God? Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 through 21. And I remember Jason was in the book of Ezekiel for a long, long time in this church. We should know Ezekiel frontwards, backwards, upwards, and sideways. But listen to this. And this pertains to us today in the church age as well. Son of man. Now this is Ezekiel 3. I think he's getting it up. Yeah, he has it up there. Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, get this. Let this soak in. That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Look at your hands for a minute. Just look at them. Do you want to see the blood of unsaved people on your hands because you just refuse to witness to them, refuse to warn them that they need Jesus in their life? Because that's how I take it. I don't know how you take this scripture, but we're in the church age. This is all coming down. I don't want to stand before God and see somebody I should have shared the gospel to and they didn't make it. I don't want to see blood on my hands. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Now that's pretty powerful. You have delivered your soul. It goes on. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness, now we're talking about backsliders. People that knew God once and slid away, and now you don't even know him anymore. You ever have that happen? Somebody was white hot for the Lord, and then they got away from God, and they become, who is this person now? It's bad. Yes, Pat, I know. We've seen it. When a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and get this, and I'm not making a theological statement. I'm just going to read the word. And his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. So it's the same with the backslider. He says the righteousness which he did, he'll remember no more. We're made righteous in Christ Jesus. Where does that put? I'm just going to let you answer that question. People in the church that fall away from God. You remember that parable when people, it wasn't a parable, it was a true thing that's going to happen. Jesus, people come to him. And they thought they were going to get into heaven. Haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done all these works? And he says, and it astonishes, because we don't know how to piece this together, do we? I never knew you. How could that be? I tell you what I believe about it. I believe it was people that knew Christ because he never did argue with them one time whether or not they really cast out devils or prophesied in his name, even accurately. But look at this. If he says the righteousness which he's done, he'll not be remembered. It's no wonder he will say to people, I never knew you. You know how to know a true disciple of Christ, somebody that's truly saved, they stay with him. They're not with him one day and gone the next. They don't spring up for a season and die away and they're gone. That's how to know if somebody truly, really got saved. I'm going to put it that way. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. There's that word again. We have a responsibility. Judgment begins in the house of God. And I just plead with the church today. Anybody hearing my voice, whether they be in here, out of here, somewhere in the world listening, you don't have time to be in a dead, dry, lukewarm, Bible-denying church. You need to be someplace that's white hot, preaching the word, preaching the filling and baptism and power of the Holy Ghost so we can demonstrate the kingdom of God in power out there on the streets, and people will come to Jesus by the thousands and thousands. You know, in the book of Acts, most people came to Jesus not because somebody got cancer and they got serious about their condition and decided to get serious about God. And that does happen. I'm not belittling that. But most of the salvations I see in the Bible were when the Holy Ghost swept across. People were laying hands on the sick and they were recovering. People, demons were being cast out of people. That's when you saw 5,000 in one day or an entire town saved. We have missed the biblical pattern because we think the person God has to depend on the most to get people to Christ is Satan. He wants people preach that they make Satan make everybody sick so they come to Christ. That's not the biblical pattern. It's to demonstrate. Paul said, I didn't come to you with fancy words, but in the power and the demonstration of God's Spirit. Don't be in a church that denies the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That denies and says all these gifts have passed away. My Bible says there'll be a lot of people that will have a form of godliness in the last days. They'll have a form of godliness but deny his power. And my Bible says from of such turn away. Get out of them kind of places. Get in a place where they believe in all the whole gospel. My gosh, I didn't know I had this kind of energy. I really was tired this morning. Ugh. Well, let's get back to the eclipse. Remember this sermon when you see that eclipse. Could God be giving the church a warning? Does this passage not mean anything to us today that I just read? Are we being warned of God that the church needs to wake up from her slumber and preach to this nation to repent and believe the gospel? Do you want to end up in a whale? Because look what happened to Jonah when he refused to do that. I don't want to see our precious brethren go through that, or myself or anybody else. Let's be obedient to God. We've been praying for revival for a long time in this church. Do you want to have it? I believe it can happen. I believe when the church stands up and preaches the true gospel of repentance, and a lot of people don't like the word old-fashioned, but good old-fashioned, I'm thinking of Blake's dad right now. My gosh, Mr. Cook. Maybe I ought to bring him in here. Everybody will be at the altar just to make sure they may be saved, but they're going to be out here and make sure they're saved. Because that's how his dad is. White hot. We need that kind of preaching today, brother. We do. God bless your dad. Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Do you notice that? Repentance and remission of sins. Our sins go away by the shed blood of Christ. And repentance happens when you turn from darkness to Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light of the world. When you turn to that light, you're turning from darkness, and that's what repentance is turning to Jesus and turning away and saying, I'm a mess. I don't know how to stop doing X, Y, and Z. I got a lot of problems, but I'm turning to Jesus knowing he can take care of it. He can fix it. I blow a trumpet warning today that the church, by and large, is not preaching repentance and remission of sins in his name in this land anymore. We have cute little sermons and are self-centered, giving an anemic gospel that omits the subject of sin and repentance while all around us people are perishing and going to hell. I promise you, I'm getting closer to the end of this message, but I am wound up. Don't give me 500 people to preach to in the last two Saturdays and expect me to come in here and just fall asleep in a pew. I can't do it. It's got my... All right. Does this seem strange that this eclipse, 22 days from today, will cross over us, and it will intersect right over the New Madrid earthquake fault, where the worst earthquake in U.S. history happened in the early 1800s. I'm giving you an observation. Do with it what you will. But most of all, I pray about this message today. I want you to pray about it. Something is in the air, church. Do you feel it? We're experiencing a shift in time on the end time clock before Jesus comes. There's a shift. And I began to feel it pretty strong as we got to the end of last year into this. Something's happening. We cannot predict the day or the hour of his coming. He has called us to watch for the signs along time's highway, to know that it's close even at the door, because he says this in Matthew 24:33. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. So he does want you to watch for these signs. As you experience this eclipse in 22 days from now, April the 8th, Monday afternoon, please don't forget this message today. Let it be a reminder that we as a church need to be alert, awake, and preaching repentance of sin and the precious, wonderful gospel of calling on the name of Jesus for salvation. We need to be preaching that. We need to be making sure that the believers around us are not only saved, but baptized, filled, empowered by the Holy Ghost so they can go out and do the same. Because that's what the Holy Ghost does. And there's churches that don't preach that, and they're shortchanging themselves. I cannot control what the church world will do today, but I can warn as many as I can. I can at least make sure the blood of others that are perishing is not on my hands, and pray that Corinth Church would be in that remnant that stands on the Word of God, His truth, and will be bold to answer His call as we approach the end. I've always prayed that this little church would go out in a blaze of glory. It came in a blaze of glory way back in the day when the Methodists had fire. We got weak and anemic, and we had some strong people, and Mom and Dad were going here that pulled them out of the Methodist church. Best move of all. And if you're a Methodist out there, I'm not insulting you. But your founder, John Wesley, you need to get back to what he taught. You need to understand that man who preached across the hillsides, had rocks thrown at him, preached repentance and salvation and the filling of the Holy Ghost. Because that's what he did. So what will happen in our country? Will the church rise up after this warning on April 8th and preach to our own Nineveh, our nation, to repent? Or is judgment at the door? I feel like we're at a crossroads. That X that goes right across our country, we're at a crossroads. What are we going to do? I would like to believe that the church is going to rise up and preach, and the kingdom of God will be demonstrated across this land, and that this country will be rocked for Jesus. I don't like the thought of us just staying asleep like those 10 virgins. Half of them were smart, wise, half of them were foolish, but at one point they all slumbered and slept. One thing about half of them, at least they had the oil, enough oil to get them to the bridegroom, the others did not. And that's a sad, tragic thing. We sing that little Christian song to kids in Sunday school, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning." And we don't even think about what it means. There's a powerful message in that. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, 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 until the light of day, which is Christ. You cannot let your oil go out. My Bible says half of those virgins did. They had oil once. They fell asleep and it went out. I choose and desire to be one of those wise virgins where the oil doesn't go out. And I don't want to say on my watch that anyone in here did not hear the truth of the gospel. Will we rise up and preach to our own Nineveh, our nation, to repent, or is judgment at the door? Will it come suddenly, swiftly, and leave the lukewarm church in derision and confusion and guilty of disobedience to the Great Commission to rescue the lost around us? Because you know that's going to happen, church. Those that drifted off the Word of God and don't take it serious anymore, when things hit, they won't have an explanation. They won't have the answer. And they themselves will be in confusion. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I implore you to let your Holy Spirit do the work in office that the Holy Spirit does best: convict, set free, empower, make new, refresh. Whatever you need to do, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you do first in our church, but for anybody watching out there, I pray that it be such a deep work that it's not some emotional pop as we listen to this message and go on our way and forget about it by midweek. I pray, Lord, that you would put this in the hearts of people deeply so it will not leave them, especially the church. The trumpet is blown. Just as Barbie felt led to blow that trumpet for a long time this morning, we're blowing that trumpet here to the church. Please wake up. Please wake up. Please preach the true gospel from the Word of God. Quit soft peddling in it with an anemic gospel. Help us, Jesus, help the church to go to our own Nineveh. And I don't take lightly, you said that there are signs in the sun and the moon, and it's just too strange of a coincidence that seven towns are called Nineveh and where it's coming in at and where it intersects. Lord, I think we're at a crossroads. Help the church do what you have called the church to do. We have you. We have your power. Help us to not be accountable in the wrong way, that we did not use the tools you have given us, your word and your mighty Holy Spirit, to win the lost around us. I pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As is said in your wonderful prayer, the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I thank you, Jesus, because I know what power you have and what you can do in this land this year. And I'm asking that it be done, that your will be done this year. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.